Right here on K1, the one you trust. And very happy, as always, to have in studio with us Chuck McCauley, the superintendent of schools here at Bartlesville. And boy, oh boy, I tell you what, we've got a lot to be proud of here, don't we?
You know, we really do, Tom. And I want to start off just by, I was thinking while I was driving in this morning about our community and how, what a great place this is to be, Bartlesville. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get into tough times or, you know, adverse situations, I think people's true character comes forward. And I think our community, once again, you know, here we are dealing with the pandemic and reflecting on the start of school. Mm-hmm. You know, tomorrow will be our fifth week that we've been in in-person school, and thinking about different communities, how they've not been able to get started yet. And so I'm so thankful for our community support, all the different resources they've helped us provide, whether it be PPE or helping deal with you know, hotspots for connectivity or supporting previous bond issues. So we have technology in place where we can go ahead and get started with school, and also to accommodate those that choose to, you know, be educated virtually. So thankful, just really glad to be here in Bartlesville, Tom, and so thankful for our community support, because we're like I said, this is our fifth week of school tomorrow. And we're doing that in person, and it has really been a great start to the year.
I'd say we only had one day where we had to take some measures, and then it was back to business. And there are a lot of people who are commending you and the members of the school board and everyone involved for, one, having a plan, and two, having a good plan, and three, having everybody be able to buy into the plan.
Yeah, it's been a true community effort. You know, we really try to involve people along the way as we're making decisions, getting ready for the start of school. That's mm-hmm. why we had those community meetings. I know the radio helped cover that this summer when we were just talking about the latest information of what our plan was. We had over 200 people attend those mm-hmm. as we prepared, and spending time with our staff so that they had the information. But really thankful for our staff's mm-hmm. hard work, because it really took a lot of effort so that we could get started on time. We know that we were out, obviously being out, everyone in the really across the country was out for that fourth quarter, and we knew how important it was to get our kids back in school. So we're off to a great start. It's been a great, you know, you don't realize, you always think about the kids and the teachers that they have in the classroom. But, you know, as I visit sites, it's really, I love to see the time when it's drop-off time, when the kids come in, and when the kids come into the school and see all the additional support that's there to greet the kids. They're happy to be there. All the additional teachers and staff that's there to help them along the way, that they just don't get those types of support at home. And kids need that. We are so glad we're able to get our doors open. We did, like you say, we did have that one day at the high school where mm-hmm. we shut down for a day to do some additional cleaning. We had a case and do some contact tracing. Mm-hmm. We feel like we've improved in that as well. And so I'm just very thankful that all of our hard work, it is, you know, on our virtual end, we had about 20% of our students are in that full-time virtual option. And we've found that more and more kids are starting to come back to school, especially at the elementary level is where we've seen more of that, to get that in-person instruction. Mm-hmm. But so thankful for our staff's hard work in getting that to happen. Also want to know that we do have some, you know, we're not perfect in terms of the virtual. That's a huge shift for us. And so we realize that we're working hard to improve that, and hope that our parents and community will continue to give us grace and work together as we do make that option the best that we can moving forward. But yeah, we're off to a great start. It's been a great start to the school year.
Well, right now we've kind of shifted. We've vacillated back and forth on the state's color charts in the county, from yellow to orange to yellow to orange. I think we're in orange right now, or we'd be sliding back to yellow.
Yeah, it is. And so I do want to spend just a minute talking about that, Tom. And so regardless, I know there's some, the color code, we are in orange currently, and we've been back and forth between yellow and orange, and I'm hopeful we'll be back in yellow on Friday. But what I want to make sure that people know in terms of how that impacts school, because I know initially that was tied to whether or not to be an in-person school or mm-hmm. distance learning, and different schools and different communities are doing different things. But what we are doing is we are tracking our school's cases, you know, whether it's students or staff, the cases, and then the isolations. And you know, we all by now know people that have been impacted by the virus in some way, mm-hmm. and we're not immune to that. However, like right now, we're in orange. And I looked before I came. We do have our, up on our website, you can see what our tallies are. We have 0.1% of our student and staff have a case. And then less than 0.7% are in quarantine or isolation. So if you think about that, if we're just because we're in orange, our color county code, and you compare that to what our cases are like, that wouldn't make sense to shift to distance learning. I mean, we can still have school. So, but we need to continue to be vigilant, continue to follow our measures and do the best that we can so that we can stay in person school, because we don't want to get into a mode where we're not able to have school. So just so that everyone knows, we do continue to monitor the cases that come up in the county. We monitor all that data that comes across. But the most important thing for us on remaining in school is the amount of impact that has on our school. So in other words, how many staff, how many students are impacted that can't be there. And then also, but that staffing piece is really the big part of it. Obviously, if we don't have enough staff that we can safely have school, then that could cause us. But so far, that hasn't been the case.
We've got three distance learning Fridays, I guess, coming up here this semester.
That's right. We started with those at the beginning of the school year weekly, just to help our staff to be able to collaborate, to be able to practice on those distance learning days. We did go ahead and schedule those. We'll make sure our community knows. We have scheduled on the first Friday of the month, so in October, November, and December. Those will be distance learning days, and those are our teachers will be working, but we do want to make sure that our parents are aware of that so that they can plan for their daycare. We're making sure that we got that word out. And then we're just going to evaluate how things go the rest of the semester to determine if we need to schedule any for the spring semester or the second semester. There's already some built-in breaks, as everyone knows. We have fall break coming up mid-October. Thanksgiving, we're not in school for a week. Christmas break, we're out for 2 weeks. So there's always some built-in that time that we're out because of holidays. And then also, we'll just have to see how Mother Nature factors into this as well. That could always be a factor. And just as a reminder, that we will be prepared if we do have to not have school for a day. That's not a day that we'll make up. We'll just shift that to a distance learning day. So people can plan on what our school calendar is in terms of not having to worry about, if they have trips planned or whatever, where we're going to have to add some days on to the end of the school year. So we'll continue with that. So that could also be a factor dealing with this too, in terms of additional time out. You never know with Mother Nature.
We got a couple of celebrations here. A couple of our students at BHS are on the national platform.
Yeah, I'm so proud of our kids. So proud to get to brag on them. First off, we learned a couple of weeks ago that on the ACT, junior Morgan King, that he had a perfect score, which is a 36. So that said, he's a junior. So it's pretty amazing, first of all, just for his family to making sure that he could get to take the test. Several of those testing opportunities have been postponed because of the pandemic, and his family was actually on a trip out west and found a location where the kid could take the test, and it's a heck of a way to spend a vacation, and he took it and made a perfect score. So yeah, so really proud of Morgan King. He's a great young man. I look forward to getting to know him a little better. He serves on my advisory council. He runs for cross country, just a great kid. And then also our national merit semifinalists, we found out I was just released that we have two, Ryan Blattler and Madeline Shambles, boy and girl seniors, that they are both national merit semifinalists, and they'll continue on in the competition and hopefully become finalists and eventually national merit scholarship winners. So proud of their achievement. They're a couple of great kids that do very well. We had two other kids that I anticipate will be because that were very close to being semifinalists. We found out last spring we had four that were considered high scorers based off of their national merit. However, these two, Ryan and Madeline, went on as semifinalists, and the other two that will, as soon as it's ready to be public, we'll be able to brag on them a little bit more too about being high scorers. So yeah,
we'll be always, patient then.
Yeah, so it's a great thing. We've had a large number of kids that are involved in that. Matter of fact, this past summer, we started back up a class for our incoming for sophomores and juniors for on the PSAT to focus on that, to help prepare them for those kids to help, because that is something that is a great benefit to our kids to be national merit scholarship winners.
Wonderful. What else is happening there with our public schools? Looks like we've got a laundry list here.
Yeah, we have. Well, we're having school. We've got a lot of things going on.
It's happening.
It is. It was such a joy you know, a couple of Fridays ago to have our first home football game. You know, that's we had Claremore, and it was such a joy to be there, to be able to see the kids get to play. Of course, it was great to win the game, but it was great to just our kids to get that opportunity to play and our coaches to coach and see our community that was there. You know, our band performed at halftime and under Alex Clausen, and they do such a great job. And our Palm girls danced, and our cheerleaders cheered, and in our student section, we had a great crowd too. And so it was just so great to have that sense of normalcy back, and was very appreciative of that. So thankful that we're able to make that happen. We're back on the road again the next couple of weeks. I think October 2nd is our next home game, which we moved up homecoming. Initially, we're going to have it a little bit later, but it's going to be on that Friday, October 2nd, which we have Tulsa, Booker T. Washington coming in, which is always tough, a great opponent. So encourage our everyone in our community to come out and watch us. But if not, they can watch it on K1 TV, which we're very proud the radio is helping us with that, where they can stream that for free. So we've got all those activities that related to the fall are going on, you know, in terms of on the athletic end as well. You know, our volleyball and softball and cross country is off to a great start, and all of the different activities that go along with the start of school. So they're trying to work on some different homecoming activities. Things may, you know, like everything else, things may look a little bit different, but we're going to do the best we can so that our kids can get to have that full experience. So it's been great. We also have here coming up at the school. I know that we have the Run the Streets program. They're big fundraiser coming up as the Willow Rock 8K, which is October 10th, which they're hopeful to have that in person still. My wife and I, we still sponsor that at a rate where all of our employees have the opportunity to participate, really encourage our folks to take care of themselves. You know, it's important that maybe their health a priority, and we have over 100 staff members that have already signed up to have registered for the race. We have a little friendly competition for all of our sites to see who has the highest participation. Wilson Elementary has won the last 2 years, but we're in quite a competition right now. So that's coming up here in a couple weeks, so really glad to do that. We're hopeful they'll be able to have that in person, but if not, I'm sure they'll do some sort of a virtual option. But that, which brings me to, want to remind folks just a few things that makes me think about in terms of that Run the Streets. But, you know, Jennifer and I, work with the United Way.
Yes.
We are their campaign chairs. And as I talked about Run the Streets or the United Way or many of our nonprofits, you know, so many of the normal fundraising opportunities for different groups have changed. They haven't been able to do, obviously, because of the pandemic, things that they normally do. Mm-hmm. And really encourage our community not to forget about things that they normally do, to go ahead and follow through. I know we try to make it a point just in our house to still, you know, like our places where we normally go out and eat, we still get that food to go and go make a good tip to them to support our community. So really encourage our people to support our nonprofits and to be involved in that United Way. So really wanted to mention those two things. Also, we shared yesterday, we just put some information out on our social media regarding the census. You know, that deadline's coming up by the end of the month for folks to be counted. You know, that's being tracked at the county level and also by city level. And our percentages, I think, should be better here in Bartlesville. So really just want to encourage everyone to be counted, because those things, you know, obviously only come around every 10 years. And we want to make sure that we have accurate counts of folks, because that can impact our federal funding. They have several things to do with the schools and our community support. So I wanted to mention that. And then one other thing that I haven't talked about, I know Chief Rolls may have, but we have added a third school resource officer for our district. And so we've collaborated with the city of Bartlesville, Chief Rolls, and talking to City Manager Bailey, who they're great partners with us. They do such great people. And so we have had two school resource officers for several years now. And in terms of Corey Plummer and Chris Bullen, they do a wonderful job for us. And obviously school safety is a big concern for everyone, and something that we've been wanting to do here the last couple years that came up. We really felt like there was a need for a third resource officer just to have some additional coverage. And we've done that. We've worked with the city, collaborated with them, worked on a win-win where we could have a third officer that we that the school pays for them when they're during their school time, and also the city pays for their salary for those other times when they're not in school, like in the summer, for example. But Officer Brandon Meyer is the third resource officer that we have. And I remember Brandon when I was a high school principal and he was in school. And so he's a great kid. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to him Monday at Kane Elementary. So we have three officers. Officer Plummer, people probably see her often if you happen to drive by the high school. That's pretty much full-time there. You'll see her doing a variety of things over at the high school. Chris Bolin is housed primarily over on the east side over at Madison. Mm-hmm. And he'll also service the three elementaries on that the funnel into Madison over on the east side. And then Brandon Meyer, his office is primarily at Central, and then we'll do the three elementaries over here on the west side of town. So it's a great opportunity. They're really great people, and we're obviously very supportive of our local law enforcement. So glad to have them in our schools to build that relationship for our kids, and because they can help us get connected, help our kids and our parents get connected with any kind of resources that they may need too. So, and then one last thing I wanted to mention, actually two last things, Tom, if I could. I wanted to mention Carrie Eichelberry. She's our director of Safe Schools, and she's really been a champion in terms of working with everything related to the COVID situation. I mean, working with our pandemic team, with Granger Metter, our technology and communications director. But Carrie is one that her spouse is also a police officer in town. And so she's really very well connected with all the different resources that are needed. Really thankful for her. You know, when you get into these kind of obviously, dealing with the pandemic is not something we had on our radar a year ago, but she's really stepped up and stepped up in a leadership role and done a wonderful job. So really thankful for Carrie Eichelberry. And then lastly, I wanted to mention the meals in terms of child nutrition. There's been a change. And so basically, we encourage the child nutrition department. They've extended that. We had those free meals that were available all summer. That's been extended now for the next few months, so hopefully through the end of the year. So basically, meals are available for free in terms of breakfast and lunch at our schools. Mm-hmm. Make sure parents are aware of that. And they're also doing some deliveries. You can see the information on our website for those kids that may be virtual, or they don't have to be Bartlesville student in terms of some of those. You can see where they are. Where they deliver those bus stops to. So just want to make sure that people are aware of that resource if that could be helpful to them. So, Tom, I got through quite a bit of stuff there.
You did great. Chuck McCauley, thank you very much for being with us here and giving us an update here on our Bartlesville Public Schools. We've got more in a minute. And, of course, this has been brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home and Tallgrass Motors on K1.
Is it time to start thinking about a